Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. We're teaching on understanding our divinity. Verse 1, Simon Peter, and servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, this teaching is particularly named this morning. We're calling this message, what are we calling this message? We're calling it Revelation of Royalty. We're still there. I'm very tempted to call it something else, but I'll just finish up with that particular part of this teaching on understanding our divinity. Now, so we've come some ways in this. We've talked about this idea, the fact that we are in the kingdom of God, and that the kingdom of God is not a religion, but it's a revelation. It's a government. It's being ruled by the instructions of God's word and depending on his provision rather than being enforced by some outside system. So we, no matter, even though we're in the world, we're not what? We're not of the world. So we're here, ministers of reconciliation. We're here representing God. The Bible calls us ambassadors for who? For Christ, okay? Now, God now is using us to reintroduce this new kingdom, which he has reintroduced to us. When we got born again, you and I came into the kingdom of God. In other words, we came into the church. We were chosen, brought into the church. And once we are brought into the church, now God is going to teach us the kingdom way of doing things. So when we talk about church, we're not talking about some denomination. Now, we're talking about a body of Christ. And we're saying that this church is here, placed in the world with the anointing that would take over the world. In other words, one of the things we had changed in our thinking is the fact that the church is just here to coexist with the world. That is not true. And that's what we've seen, by the way. We've seen a lot of the fact that we're just in this world and we're here really not to do anything but peaceful and really not cause any trouble and just come out on Sunday morning and shout and dance and kick over the church benches and so forth and then go back down to Denny's, get something to eat, and go on home. Now, this is not exactly what he has planned for the church. So the church, we're here to not only build a dynasty, but we're here to expose a new dimension. A dynasty, of course, is a succession of kings. And we're here, we're finding out that we are a new race of kings. And we're the family of God who are here, put here, to really govern the entire earth. We're here to expose a new dimension. We're here to show people that there's a new space that we can occupy that is above this three-dimensional world. And that we're supposed to be here to occupy that space and occupy, thereby being able to control the earth. And so when we look here, we're sent here to not just coexist in the world, but really we're sent here to take over the world. Now also we saw that we are born from above. We're born from above. And when I say born from above, I mean that you and I were born again, and the Bible actually says that our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. So nothing we do in this earth really is about religion. Everything we do in this earth is about the government of the kingdom and the family of God. So we were born to change the world. That's a powerful statement. We were born to change the world. Now, when we're talking about the world, we're saying that basically if anybody in the world is suffering, for example, then it's because the church has yet to subdue the world with kingdom principles. that somehow we're not working in the world as we're supposed to be. That this world is to be our responsibility. The world is to be our responsibility. Now, again, this is a new thinking that that exists, because before we thought, again, that we're in here not to cause trouble and so forth and so on. Even when we talked about people in the kingdom of God or in the church really going and being a part of different political positions, or let's say working in a certain company or whatever have you, we thought that was some kind of blasphemy or some kind of way that you're getting outside of the will of God. But that's not true. What we of the church are to do is to be in every aspect of this world system. That we're to be in media, we're to be in sports, we're to be everywhere. Why? God has gifted you and me with the gifts that would do well in those areas. Now, he's going to take those natural gifts and put anointing on them and make it supernatural, because he's going to raise you up really to command the influence in the area that he's sending you into. In other words, you're going to be sent into the world to take over the world. So this kingdom that we see here, the kingdom of darkness, is something that originated from this world, and we're introducing a new kingdom. More than introducing it, we are invading with a new kingdom. And that's why the scripture says that the violent take it how? The violent take it by force, okay? So we are here to take over this world. And also that the kingdom of God, it is not just a event, that the kingdom of God is, in fact, a lifestyle. All right, I'm just trying to go through some of these old things that I talked about, because I want to talk about something new. All right. Now, let's go back again to Psalms chapter 82. Psalms chapter 82. Praise the Lord. Psalms chapter 82. All right, let me know when you get there. All right, in Psalms chapter 82, he was talking here to us, really, that's a prophetic word. He was talking to us, the family of God, the church, the called out ones, the ones who are ambassadors, the ones who are really supposed to rule this earth. Look what he says, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, and he judgeth among the gods. We found that that word gods with a little g is us. That's a magistrates or judges. How long will you judge unjustly, except the person of the wicked? Selah. Selah means to pause and examine it. Verse 3, defend the poor and the fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Now, this is interesting, because what is happening here is Satan is holding people in bondage. Now, the point of it is he's holding them in bondage, and most of them don't even know it. So it's one thing, I think, to know when you're in bondage, but it's another thing to be in bondage and don't know it. And so what happens, has to happen, is people come in here and they get the truth and light on how they should be living and what should be a part of their possession. And sometimes, I know with myself, I got pretty mad, because I said, wait a minute, you mean all this time this was mine and I didn't know it? And so what am I saying? We need a breakthrough in our thinking. Because what had happened is there was a stronghold in our mentality. And a stronghold is a system of thinking that is contrary to the Word of God. It's a system of thinking that is contrary to the Word of God. So what breaks us out of that intellectual stronghold that's in our minds is something called revelation. Because you need revelation to take you outside of this realm. And with that revelation, we can see basically in another dimension. And that's what God wants. So, as we look at this breakthrough in our thinking, he says, well, let me just finish reading this and then we're going on something else. And they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Now, when he's talking about foundations, he's talking about foundations that the enemy has laid. And the enemy sets up foundations, by which that government of the demonic spirits can operate by. And it's a foundation built on spiritual idolatry. It is a foundation. When you enter into this, a lot of times it's hard to take over a nation with the gospel, because the seat of authority has a foundation of spiritual idolatry. In other words, they have dedicated it to demons. And so what happens is now you've got to come in and break the power of that and then rededicate it to God. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay. That's why you see people sometimes who seem so on fire for God. And then they get in certain positions. And then the next thing you want to know is, are they really saved? That's what this is talking about. And so what happened is you and I are going into these areas and we're going to break the powers of the spiritual foundations that have been occupying these areas with the power of God. And those principalities and powers may be seem strong, but they break down in the presence of kingdom-minded people. All right, let's look at this. Let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, please. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Let me know when you get there. Praise the Lord. Oh, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, it says here, verse 35. And the same day, when evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. This is Jesus now. And there arose a great storm of wind, the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we what? Perish. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and sea obey him? Now look at the next verse. And they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. And he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. Fetters you put on your feet, chains you put on your hand. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame it, so no natural power could hold him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus, afar off, he ran and worshiped him. I'll put another thing in it. He fell at his feet and worshiped him. He bowed before him. So no matter how powerful the kingdom of darkness is, it bows in the presence of kingdom-minded people. So now this man bows. But notice what happened. Verse 7, and he cried with a loud voice and said, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjured thee by God that you torment me what? Not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is your name? And he answered and said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now, what do I believe? I believe that this demon, Legion, was the leader or the strong man that was holding that entire coastline. That the enemy was channeling through a demon to actually stir up a weather pattern that could sink the boat of Jesus and his disciples. Why? Because they were coming to the other side. Why? They were invading. Why? Because they were going to establish the kingdom of God there. You got what I'm saying? Now, this is a picture here. Because when that storm came up, Jesus rebuked it. So right away, we can see that that storm wasn't from God. Now, you know how many things have been put on God? God will kill you. God will take your kids. God will make them deformed. All kinds of stuff been put on God that's not God at all. And what Jesus came to do is represent how God really was to the people. And that's what you're supposed to be doing. Because other than that, the devil gives them a distorted picture of what God is really like. And that's why they don't want to come to it. So I'm saying here, this man, the enemy was using him to control weather pattern, and Jesus rebuked it. Now, this is what we're going to talk about a little bit today. We're going to talk about taking charge. Taking charge. Now, this is a kingdom message. This is not no little old 3 points in a poem and something religious. This is not that at all. It's time for the church to take over. Got it? And the one reason why is because they, the world, are walking in darkness. Darkness. Total darkness. They think they know what they're doing. They don't bit more know what they're doing than anything. And that's why this Babylonian system has been so successful. When I say that, I mean this. I mean, Babylonian system has really tried to impoverish the church and has done a pretty good job at it. Notice the gifts and the callings of God that are without repentance that come into the church. Notice how many people are famous singers that you've heard about, but they got their start where? In the church, singing in the choir and so forth. And come on now. But then Babylon snatches them out, puts them over there in Vegas or wherever he puts them. Now, I'm not talking about anybody now, but I'm saying notice how he'll take the gift. Look at the ball players. Them ball players, let me tell you something. Most of those families of those ball players. Now listen, I'm not talking dirty or bad about anybody. I'm talking about some realities here. Most of them ball players, their parents pray for something to happen to break the cycle of poverty in their family. Come on now, you know and I know it. And the next thing you know, this boy grew 7 feet tall. Are you following what I'm saying? But notice, how many of them are tithing? How many of them, come on now, because the Babylon's job is to snatch the resources out of the church and use them for his benefit to build his kingdom and not yours. I'm telling you now, we're coming to take charge. We're coming to take over. We're coming to take back. We're coming to release people who've been held by demon forces and they cannot cooperate with the plan of God because of a stronghold in their life, and we're coming to release them from captivity. That's what we're coming to do. That's what we're coming to do. And the thing about it is what the enemy wants to do with the rest of the people that are left in the church is get them so preoccupied with provision, so preoccupied with my paycheck, so preoccupied with whatever, so that their gifts and their talents will go undiscovered or undeveloped. And they have no time to spend time with God to allow Him to speak to them about their real purpose in this earth and what He's called them to do. They're vague about everything. They can't hear God's voice on nothing, let alone pray. Ain't no time to pray. The only thing they do is spend 24/7 trying to find some money. And the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the money you need will be added to you. The priority is the kingdom. If you're born again. If you're not, it's not. But if you are, and I'm saying that people who have a bunch of money, notice how many poor people, starving people and so forth, that money don't trickle down to them. They don't operate like that. Only reason why, I'm not blaming them, they're being controlled. They're being controlled and don't even know it. And watch this, and can't get out from under it. That rich young ruler, here was Jesus, and he came, the man slid up on him and said, hey, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, you know the commandments, don't steal, don't kill, don't so forth and so on. Man said, oh, I've done all that in my youth. He said, okay, then one thing you lack, just go your way, sell what you have, now give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, you'll come on and follow me. Notice what the man did, dropped his head and backed away and went on. You know why? Because his money was his God. That idolatry. And how the enemy has set it up. It ain't trickling down. So God needs you. Why? He's going to get you to take all of it. You're going to be in control of the monetary system of the world. Now listen, I'm talking to some stuff that's another level. Say breakthrough. I want you to break through in your thinking, because God needs you, because He's got to solve some problems out there that you're going to be used to solve. Say amen to that. Amen. They're going to take wisdom, all right, but they're going to also take some money. Somebody's going to have some money. Say amen to that. Amen. So now, we're going to take charge from this point forward. We're going to take charge. Say amen to that. Amen. And those demons are not going to be holding God's people or holding back the resources of God anymore. Because we're going to call money to come. We're going to make things happen in this earth through words that could not be made to happen any other way. The Bible says over in Job, decree a thing. I said, decree a thing. You see, Jesus came to bring a superior government, a superior kingdom. The kingdom of darkness is inferior to the kingdom of God. Oh, it looks bright. It looks like it can stand the test of time. It looks like it got all that stuff built up, but it doesn't. It's just that God's people have been trying to handle that on a lower level of thinking, and you can't do that. You're going to have to come on up. Folks, when you couldn't bail no water out of the ship fast enough, watch this, the natural way, what did Jesus do? He just stood up and what? Spoke. Folks, when nothing else will do the job, just speak. Now let me see where I am. Say, take charge.
Take charge.
So you are here to take charge. And God wants you to take charge. Say amen.
Amen.
Now, let's look at one more thing here. Praise God. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51. Lord have mercy. I said breakthrough. All right. Now, you and I are designed to rest in the complete provision of the Father. Boy, that's a mouthful right there. Now, we are ambassadors for Christ. Say that. I am an ambassador for Christ. And most of what is causing the problems in the earth is spiritual. Say amen to this. And what you and I have to do is leave the natural and go to the spiritual. Verse 16, and I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand, protection, that I may do what? Plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, thou art my people. Now, what we're talking about is breakthrough. And you know, when you go into breakthrough, and I'm going to just say this, and I don't mean any harm by it, but how many of you know I had to preach what I feel like is in my heart to give? I talked about the law of association. That all you got to do is show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And I'm going to tell you something. The devil's trying to talk you down out of the realm that God has called you to. And he's doing it subtly with people who may be relatives. I'm going to talk about it now. Who may be other church folk. Come on now. He's not some rank sinner or some heathen. This is folks who's supposed to be saved. And the enemy tries to talk us down out of that. Now, I'm saying that because I'm finding out that I got to watch my association with preachers. Lord, have mercy. I'm preaching better than you saying amen now. Because if you remember, 12 of them went to spy out the land. Am I right about it? Come on, am I right about it? And when they went to spy out that land, they came back, and 10 of them, come on now, had a what kind of report? They had an evil report. Now, the Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? Didn't it say that? So they were all sent, but some of them came back preaching something that God didn't say. Come on now, I'm finding out I'm going to have to check my association, because God talked to me on this trip. He said, son, you still thinking billions. He said, I'm thinking trillions. Listen, man. I'm telling you. See, it's hanging around with folks. Because when I mention billion, they go off. When I mention million, some of the saints start shaking. Folks, wait a minute. What do you think Canaan represents? It represents the wealth of the wicked. How much wealth do you think they have? Folks, I was looking at television and was talking about how much was traded over here in this certain market, and it was $27 trillion. Man, they got some... See, the thing about it, you haven't put it together. You still think you got to hold all of that. No. You got to take care of the poor of the earth. You got to build houses all over the world. That's when they're going to see the manifestation of the sons of God. We're coming to take over here. You got to enlarge the borders of your tent, because you got to plant the heavens. Are y'all following what I'm saying? Now, I know this is beyond your natural little old pea brain. I'm not asking for your brain to hold this, because it can't hold it. This is for your spirit. Your spirit came from God. Your spirit is in the God class. Your spirit, you can operate out of your spirit. Found out something. I said, you know, I've been doing too much. I've been preaching too much. I've been saying too much. I've been trying to get too much done. And I start looking at this. Plant the heavens. Plant the heavens. Thy kingdom come. And Sister Cindy Trim, when she was here, preached that thing. I said, whoa, I got that. Uh-huh. Pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Not on earth. In earth. On the earth. As it is where? In heaven, see? And so now I got this in me. See, it's got to come in me first. And then this whole thing, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. This. Woo, come on, William. My wife went to the laundry. And I had taken my shirts. No, she took my shirts. And she told the laundry guy, here's my husband's shirts. This was some years ago. And he gave, and she gave him the shirts. And then she asked him. She said, where do you go to church? He said, oh, I don't go to church. She said, uh-uh, you need to go to church. Didn't think anything about it, left. I came back to pick the church up next week. The man saw me, and it looked like I could see kind of fear on his face. And he started looking at my boxes, and he finally got my box of shirts and slammed them down on the counter. Your wife told me I need to go to church. Now, wait a minute. I caught something. Plant the heavens.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She just... decreed something. She didn't have to do nothing else. All I got to do is proclaim something. I ain't got to do nothing else. It's gonna come in earth. You better hear what I'm saying. See, I got to keep my faith on it. When she spoke it, she just released it in faith. When Jesus spoke to the fig tree, what did he do? He just spoke it, didn't he? He didn't try to explain to the fig tree how this was going to happen and so forth. He just released the word. He proclaimed the gospel. And if I just proclaim it and say like Elisha said, tomorrow, about this time, you will be a millionaire. Listen, all you got to do is receive. Boy, you got to see what I'm saying. That's a long ways from preaching, and the Job went down, and I ain't making fun. What is that? Man, I'm going to declare something in your life. I'm going to declare that that HIV is coming off of you. That's preaching. That's proclaiming. That's decreeing a thing. And it shall be established. Who's going to establish it? Not me. That ain't my job. God spoke it, and he will bring it. Well, I saw that thing over there. Preaching over there in Old Oedipus Church. I saw all them people, and they got so many people that you can't, you don't hardly know where you are. If you're waiting on a response, it don't even come back. It's got to go too far. So you just got to decree it. You just got to speak it. You just got to say, today I'm releasing you from financial captivity. Today. That's what I'm talking about. I said, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about planting the heavens. Thy kingdom come. Come on. Thy will be done. In earth. The devil is a liar. The devil hasn't done anything that the kingdom can't reverse. And the kingdom can reverse it so clean until you don't have no trace that it ever came in your. Somebody say, take charge. Let's take charge over the government. Come on, let's take charge over the Supreme Court. Let's take charge over the Congress. Come on, we're ambassadors now. We come in here to plant the heavens. Let's take charge over corruption. Let's take charge over street gangs. Come on, let's take charge over the prisons. Come on, let's take charge over the drug dealers. Let's take charge over porno rings. Let's take charge over the prostitutes. Let's take charge over violence. Let's take charge over all these diseases. Let's take charge over babies that been born deformed. Let's take charge over the starvation of nations. Let's take charge. Let's not be timid anymore. Let's take charge, because when you step out of the boat, you turn into another man. Don't hold back. You get a fan belt in your hand and whoop the devil all over that community. Come on, whip him one time. We plant in the heavens. You come into your community and you decree a thing. You tell your community what you want to happen and up in there. And don't think you're just saying things and talking words. Those words have life to them. And God is watching over that word, and he's going to make it good. This is not the devil's world. This world has been given to us. God says in Psalms chapter 8 that he's put us in authority over all the works of his hands. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said that all things are yours. In Psalms 115 and 16, he said the heavens, even the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he's given to the children of men. Now, take ownership. Now turn to Daniel, chapter 11, please. Now I'm going to tell you something. This, what I'm talking about right now, you can't be cute and do this. You can't be cute and do this. I'm going to tell you right now, it don't work for you. That devil will kick your behind all over town. That ain't going to work for you. You got to get down. You can't be cute and do this. Too many people trying to be cute in the kingdom. That ain't working. That ain't gonna work. Don't work. Well, come on over here. Devil don't care how many degrees you got. Can't no degree defeat the devil. The only thing that can defeat the devil is the Spirit of God. I ain't against education, but your education can't get you there. The devil will whoop you and that education all over town. Now, I know some of y'all, well, he's talking against education. Now, shut up. That's the devil talking to you. The devil is a liar. Jesus is the Messiah, and he's in me right now. In the name of Jesus, every knee what? It's got to bow. All right, let's look at this. Look at verse 32. Let me know when you get there by saying, praise the Lord. Folks, you go over there in Africa, in some of the parts of that continent, you better be full of Holy Ghost. You better be full of something. But they got some devils over there that don't play. But when you go in to see certain people of royalty and whatever, and you at the door, and you coming in the door, and the next thing you see is a man, a Ubi man over there with beads. You better have something on your side, coach. He be looking at you. But you don't pay no attention to him because you got kingdom mind on your mind. You kingdom minded. Amen. Say amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
I just kind of nodded at him. I said, amen. All black folks understand that. Okay. All right. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
I said, you with me?
Yeah.
Now, I'm talking about a commitment. You making a commitment to this. All right, let's look at this. All right, now you remember when Jesus was up at Caesarea Philippi and took his disciples up there and he asked him a question. He said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they began to answer first out of their intellect. They said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, some said you're one of the prophets. Now, understand that's guesswork. And there is no guesswork in the kingdom. Guesswork is under the listing of toil. There is no toil in the kingdom. God will give you exactly what the number is. He'll give you exactly what to negotiate. He'll give you exactly how to make that deal. He'll give you exactly how to get them kids out of that situation. You hear what I'm saying? Exactly. So look what it says here in verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. Talking about the devil. He likes to flatter you. But the people that know their God. I said the people that know their God. They shall be what? Strong. And do what? exploits. They shall be strong and do exploits. But they got to know their God. That's identity. That's what Jesus was looking for with the disciples. Who do they say that I am? Because you can't know who you are without knowing who he is. Because you made in his image. So if you don't know who he is, you sure don't know who you are. How do you know who he is? You know who he is through an intimate relationship with him. How can you get that relationship? By doing his word. Let me tell you when I really knew who he was. Here I was going on a mission trip to Uganda. Next thing you know, they told me that I was going to be staying in some Princess or Americana hotel. I said, oh, praise the Lord. So I got to Kampala, which is a big city in Uganda. But they said, Pastor, we're going to pick you up early in the morning and head out to the meeting. I said, I thought we were going to have the meeting here in the city. He said, no, Pastor, the meeting is about 8 hours from here by car. I said, man. Now, right away, my mind's starting to click here. This is not quite what I expected. So, got up early that morning in the car, and that's a whole other story because they were trying to pack me and all this stuff in this little old car about the size of a beetle. And I said, man, wait a minute, does the car have any air in it? It was 100 degrees if it was zero. I said, no, Pastor, the air went out, but that's all right. We can get there. We just keep the windows down. I said, homeboy, I ain't keeping nothing down. Let's rent a van here. I got a little money. Let's rent a van. So we did that. Thank God for that. So we rode 8 hours. But the further we rode, the less people I started seeing. I said, oh, Lord. So we got back there where the meeting was, and here I was back there, and we came up to the hotel. The hotel had 2 rooms, one for me and one for Tony. Tony went with me from here, camera and television. I said, man, I think it was only one or two. It wasn't 5, it wasn't 10, you know what I mean. So what happened then? I got in the room. I said, we're going to get up in the morning, we're going to go out to the campsite and so forth. Okay. I went in the room, but I noticed I looked over at the window, and there was no window pane there. Now, that was okay, but then there was no window screen there. There was only a hole in the wall. Now, I'm saying, wait a minute, malaria. Now, this is my mind thinking now. Cobras.
Amen.
Now, my mind, come on now.
Amen.
I'm fixing to know God here now.
Amen.
Now, I want y'all to see this. I'm trying to think, what's going to happen here now? So they gave us a net.
Amen.
Because they were really having a lot of malaria in that place. And you know that stuff tried to take you out.
Right.
That's a mosquito.
Right.
So you know a mosquito can come.
Right.
Okay, right there. Ain't no screen.
Right through the wall.
Right there, through the window.
Right.
Not through the wall, through the window.
Right.
And then I said, okay, now I got to sleep tonight. Let's see, how many scriptures I know. God giveth his beloved sleep. The angels of the Lord encamp around about me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. He always causes me to triumph. And said, man, I'm quoting scriptures now. I'm quoting everything I ever heard I thought I knew.
Lord have mercy.
Now, how many of you know the devil was there because here I'm coming to rescue souls. And the devil started bombarding my mind with a snake crawling up the wall, down the wall, under the bed. Now, I want to get out and look under that bed so bad, I don't know what to do. I'm telling you now, I got to go to sleep in this. But you know what I'm about to do? I'm about to know God. What am I saying? Oh, yeah, you got people. This is the day. See, we're dancing around. But what have you stepped out on to get to know your God? Because if you haven't, you don't know him. You know this. Step out. That's why he's telling some of you to give beyond your comfort zone. That's making you step out. Because once you know it, I'm telling you, the devil's ability to deceive you, to make you fail, to make you fearful, to intimidate you with people, them days are over. Because they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The devil don't want you to step out on it. Boy, the next night got a little better. Next night got a little better. By the time I was ready to leave, I was sleeping all night. In the midst of an open window that snakes could crawl in. Let alone snakes, a lion could get in that window. That's why now I fear no man. No man. You don't front me off at all. God is the judge. Why is he the judge? Because he alone decides who wins or who loses, not your opponent. And the devil is your opponent, and God has said you are going to win. And when he said that, you're a winner. Amen. I don't care if it looks like for a moment you went down in the depths of whatever. I'm telling you, hang on to your faith because you are coming out. Say, I'm taking charge.
I'm taking charge.
One more time. Third time.
I'm taking charge.
In Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Give the Lord a praise. We're going to stop it right there. Your days of captivity are over. I said your days of financial captivity are over. I cancel your debts. I speak right now, debt cancellation in this whole house. Say this with me. I am what the Bible says I am. Can do
what the Bible says I can do.
I am reigning
as a king
in this earth in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, take a seat for just a moment, please. Now, I didn't get to all of it, but that's enough. I said, that's enough. That'll take you where you want to go right there. I was going to preach today on the hand of the Lord, but maybe we'll save that for next time. See, he said, command ye me, That's what God said. You can command the hand of God. And the hand of God brings two things: judgment and justice. Judgment upon your enemies, and he'll free whatever the devil has put on your life. God will set you free. This is good stuff. All right. If you're here today and you're not saved, you came in here to get saved. You might say, I didn't know that. Well, you know it now. You can't stumble in this much truth. God led you here. Well, my cousin invited me. No, God led you here. Well, I saw it on television. God led you here. Why? Because he wants you to be a part of his family. You've been called to be a winner. And you've been losing, and God is tired of it. He wants you to come on a winning team. So if you're here right now and God has spoke to your heart, I want to pray for you the same prayer they prayed for me, that brought me out of darkness into the marvelous light, that erased all of my sins and gave me a brand new start, that took me from trying to pretend that I had everything to being a realist, that God has really blessed my life, and now I can be a blessing to other people. If you're here today, you say, hey, I don't want to go any longer in this shape that I'm in. I need a change in my life. God is a change agent. He is the one who, you come to him, you'll never be the same again. So I want to pray with you the same prayer they prayed for me up on the north side of Chicago, that changed my life from darkness to light, from made me from what I was to what I am today. God is with you. He's here in this place right now. Now he's calling you. The Bible says when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. So don't think that it's just my voice you hear. It's his voice you hear. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they'll follow it. He said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone hear it, I'll come in and sup with him and him with me. So God is speaking to your heart right now and saying, come home, child. Come home. I have a better place for you. For all who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I want to pray with you right now, whoever you are in this place. I'm not asking to join this particular church. You can do that today or when God gives it to you. I'm asking you today to come into the family. Let God erase all of your sins. Take the guilt out of your mind so that you can really be free. For whoever's listening to me, my home or whatever place you're in, I'm saying, giving you the same opportunity. I want you to be saved today. You don't have to go one more day living like you're living. You can get a change, and it can start right now. So whoever's listening to me, and you know that I'm talking to you, and you're ready for a new life, you're ready for a new start, let me pray for you the same prayer they prayed for me right now. Here's what I want you to do. Take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair. Come up here and stand with me right now, and stand at the altar and stay with me. Come on down. Come on down, whoever it is. Come on down. Come on down. Come on, don't look at anybody else. They can't save you. What you need to do is come right now. Come just like you are. Come on, sister. Come on, brother. Come on down. Come on down. Stand with me right now. Come on. Come on, stand with me. Don't look at nobody else. They can't save you. If you're looking at me by home or by, if you're looking at me by video, I want you to come up right now. Stand to your seat right where you are, because it's time for you to be saved. Come on down all over this auditorium. Come on down here. Join me right now. This is your day. This is your day for a miracle. This is your day that God's going to do something great in your life. Come on. Don't come this far and don't come all the way. Come on. Your neighbor can't save you. Another trip to the Bahamas can't save you. Another new car can't save you. Another new job can't save you. Going to a new place can't save you. Having a new marriage can't save you. Grandmama can't save you. The only one that can save you is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one that saves. Now I want to call also, I want to call for so people who been born again, but you're backslidden. In other words, you're living like you were never born again in your life, and God is saying, come home, child. Now, whoever that is right now, I'm giving you an opportunity. Now, don't let the devil use you as a trophy. Get up out of your chair right now. Come on up here and stand with me right now. Come on, come on. Don't feel embarrassed. Get up. Come on up here right now and stand with me at this altar. Praise God. Come on down here. You can't live and smoke that much reefer and be saved. Come on down here right now. Stand with me right here. Come on down. Praise God. The devil is alive. Jesus, he's the Messiah. Come on home. Come on home. Come on down. Come on down. Now, I'm going to make one last call. This call is for people who didn't come on the first and second call. And one of the main reasons why you didn't come is because you're making excuses. You knew I was talking to you, but you're making excuses talking about I got to go somewhere after this. Let me tell you something. If you don't get this, where you go might not be where you want to go. I'm saying this right here is what you need. This is the most important stop you can make right here. This is the most important thing that can ever happen in your life. Outside of you marriage or whatever it is not important as this right here. So one last call. This for everybody who resisted, who made excuses, whoever you are, get up out of your chair. Come up here, stand with me right now. Let's get it straight between you and God. All right. Okay, I'm going to pray for these that came. Lift your right hand up to heaven for me, please, and repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord, I come to you now just as I am. You know my life. You know how I've lived. Forgive me, Lord. I repent of my sins. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for my sins. And on the third day, he was raised from the dead. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Live your life in me and through me from now on. From this day forward, I belong to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now put your hand down. Now, whoever said that prayer with me and you sit in your seat and sit and trying to sneak in the back door of God, you ain't coming in the back door. Ain't no back door. I want you to do something right now. You help me shame the devil. Get up out of your chair and come on up here and join these right now. Come on. You said that prayer in your seat. I want you to get up out of your chair. Come on. Help me shame the devil. Get up out of your chair right now and come on up here and join me. Stand with me. There it is, sister. Come on, brother. Come on, sister. Come on, sister. Come on. Get up out of your chair. Come on. Be bold for one. Be bold, I said. All right. Now, I want y'all to look over to your right because there's a man, he's minister with his hand held up. He's going to take you in the room, give you some instructions. The same instructions, he's going to give you the same instructions I had and they had and disciples had. I want you to follow those instructions. That's the way this deal is. No longer is this a democracy. This is called a theocracy. This is one God. He sets all the rules and everybody follows. So you now are becoming a child in the family of God. Not only that, you're becoming an ambassador for Christ. God's going to use you mightily. So I want you to follow the instructions that he gives you. If somebody's here waiting for you, they'll wait for you till you get done. Most important that you go through with the process that you started right here today. Brother, I want to tell you something. Don't be concerned about jail because you ain't going back. That's the first thing he told me to tell you. And this is what he told me to tell you too. He gonna make a preacher out of you. I know it. I know it. That's it, ain't it? That's it. That's it. That's the Holy Ghost. Hey, he comes to make all things new. That's the Holy Ghost. Turn to your right. Follow him. Follow him. We're gonna be praying for you. God bless you. Hey. Yes, sir. Go make a preacher out of it. All right, hold on for just a minute. Now we got Holy Communion for you. Yes, what you need?
A special prayer. I have pancreatic cancer.
You do? You ain't got it no more. Kill! In Jesus' name. Thank you for Holy Communion. We pray your blessings upon it right now, that as we receive this bread, receive this cup, that every sickness and disease is driven out of our bodies, every sense of guilt and shame is driven out of our minds, and we've been made free by the blood of Christ. Now we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your seat so we can serve Holy Communion. Rick, leave her there, brother. Just let her stay. Hold on. Hold on. He's doing the work. He's doing the work. The Holy Ghost is doing surgery. It's surgery time. It's surgery time in the house. It's surgery time. It's surgery time. It's surgery time. It's surgery time. They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Hallelujah. It's surgery time. God knows how to get cancer. He knows how to get leukemia. He knows how to deal with diabetes. He knows how to lower blood pressure. He knows how to heal a broken heart. He knows how to renew the mind. He knows how to make all things new. Now you can help her up and help on to the back, because she's healed. I said, because she's healed. Ha ha. Yeah. Hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. I said, she's healed. Don't forget, you're coming to take charge. You are God's ambassadors. You've been sent from another government to establish His kingdom here in this earth. Stand to your feet, touch somebody's hand, let's touch and agree. Father, we do thank you for the word today. Help us to understand more about the kingdom and our purpose for being in it. Father, give us clear pictures of what it is that you want us to do, and give us favor all along the way. And we declare and decree that this year is the year that all debts are canceled. In the name of Jesus, can somebody shout amen? Greet three or four people around you. Tell them Jesus loved you, and so do I.